You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
We're going to talk about the world of make-believe, the Kamala Harris campaign. There is a huge story about Afghanistan, accountability for Afghanistan, all that, so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, before we get to the world of make-believe and Dome and Biden, I should put out there that Trump is returning to Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And look, it's a win for free speech after they kicked the sitting president of the United States off there for no reason. He's going to go up there, do an interview, Elon Musk. Good that more people get more information. Now let's move on and talk about other things, much more important things than that. Let's discuss, you know what? I'm going to discuss the Kamala Harris campaign, the Joe Biden disaster, the where we are as a society. But I'm going to use a little story to lead you up into that. You see, I have two sons. When I was younger, and they were much younger, we're talking little kids, think, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old. They would obviously obsess over things like superheroes. What little boy doesn't obsess over Superman or Spider-Man or the Incredible Hulk? But they loved superheroes, comic books, movies, whatever came out. Of course, young boys like superheroes. And when they were that young, I would go and I would tell them, because I'm a terrible father, I would tell them that, hey, I'm the Incredible Hulk. And I would just be able to say things like that to them. And they're, what? No way. Oh, that's so cool. Hey, can you turn green for us? And I'd say, no, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I just want to let you know your dad's the Incredible Hulk. I know it's kind of cruel, but it was hilarious. And then it didn't take them long as they started to get older. I would go to them and I'd say, hey, I'm the Incredible Hulk. And they would say, oh, that's really cool. But we never see you turn green. It's kind of weird. We believe you, but you don't really ever turn green. And then as they grow a little bit older and they start to learn to use this, didn't take them long, 6, 7 years old. Boys, I'm the Incredible Hulk. And they said, Dad, no, you're not. You never turn green. Don't say it's because you haven't gotten mad. We see you get mad, Dad. You haven't turned green. You're lying to us. So you see the progression? The progression. When they're super, super young, I could tell them anything and they would believe it. I'd walk up to automatic doors and put my hand out and tell them I had Jedi powers, and the door would open and they'd say, wow, Dad's a Jedi. They'd believe anything. And then as they got older and older and sharper and wiser, they started to question things and figure things out. Now, I want you to think about American society right now. Because what you're seeing right now with the Kamala Harris campaign is, I'm going to use the word an experiment, I'm not sure if that's exactly the word I want to use, but this is what you're seeing right now. The American communist has, for the longest time, had to shade the truth a little bit here. And he still does this all the time. Kind of use a little bit of truth and just kind of veer off it a little bit here. Mostly true, but then he kind of just swerves a little bit. And as America has gone in reverse from my sons, that's the point I'm trying to make here, we're going the opposite direction, the communists is starting to figure out more and more that he needs less and less of that truth in order to get huge portions of the population to believe something. So maybe he used to need 80% truth, and then he watched over the years as that number ticked down, 70, 60%. Okay, hey, we can tell a half truth now. Ooh, what's that? Do you think we could get away with 30%? Let's try a 30% truth. And what he's trying to figure out is, has he dumbed down and demoralized our society, enough of our society, I should say, has he dumbed down and demoralized enough of our society to the point he doesn't need a single percentage of truth? He needs 0% truth. He can just invent something out of thin air and have enough of the American people believe it. What you're looking at right now with the Kamala Harris campaign is exactly that. I'm gonna say something for you. This is amazing. Kamala Harris is the Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America, even though she didn't really, you know, earn it. Either way, she's the Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America. She doesn't have policies listed. None. Zero. The Democrat nominee for president doesn't have policies listed on her website. I could pull up the small mom and pop donut shop who just opened in my town, this lovely old couple in this kind of ratty little shop. I think they spent 35 cents putting this place together. They have a website with menu options on there. The Democrat nominee for president doesn't feel the need to inform the American people of a single policy position of hers. Oh, she was just asked about it. Here, where she was.
When can we expect you to roll out your policy platform?
Next week. And it'll be focused on the economy and what we need to do to bring down costs and also strengthen the economy overall.
Next week, the economy and some costs. And I need to point something else out. That reporter asked her a question. That in and of itself is stunning because nobody has gotten to ask her a question. In fact, I believe that's the third question she's been asked in the 3 weeks she's been the Democrat nominee for president. She won't do interviews. She won't state her policy positions. She is nothing. A complete blank slate. She has given the American people nothing of substance. Zero truth. No facts. No nothing. How in the world could they be that brazen? How in the world could they be that obvious, that blatant? How in the world could they do this? You know what? You want to put the cherry on top of it? You remember Trump's been out there a lot lately, a lot, talking about taxes on tips. Trump rants about this all the time. There shouldn't be taxes on tips. They're taxing your tips for waitresses and things like that. No taxes on tips, no taxes on tips. This is not a one-off. He said this many, many, many times before. Kamala Harris, to my knowledge, has never mentioned once in her life eliminating taxes on tips. This was her at a rally this weekend.
Including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
Hold on. What? Did she just take Trump's position and act as if it's her position? How could she get away with it? What you're seeing is a big experiment. And I don't know if we're gonna like the results. I hope we will, and we might. I don't know that we're going to hate the results. I don't know that we're going to love the results. But what the Democrats, what the communists have decided after COVID, after so many things, they have very clearly decided, hey, we don't need any truth anymore. We don't need to be anything anymore. We can run an entire presidential campaign on nothing, on what did they call her, a brat in the beginning? What does that even mean? On joy. There are headlines out there today. There are campaigns focused on joy, or we can run an entire campaign telling our opponents that Trump is a threat to democracy. Can they run a presidential campaign on nothing of substance at all and still get 51% of American voters to support them? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know whether or not they can, but it's very clear at this point in time, they think they can. Look, they hid Joe Biden in a basement for 4 years, 5 years, if you count his presidential campaign. They hid him in a basement, reading off note cards, teleprompters, handing him little cue cards. It says here I'm supposed to call on Amber with ABC. They pulled that off for 4 or 5 years, and it worked. And I say the American communist believes now the truth is gone, that he will just come up with something out of thin air. I mean, look at this. I want you to keep in mind, before I play this little clip of John Carl for you, keep this in mind. This is how crazy it's gotten. The whole Kamala Harris was border czar thing, that was all done on camera. It's not like I heard from a guy who heard from a guy. You could, right now, if you wanted to, you could pull up on your phone a videotape of Joe Biden sitting beside Kamala Harris saying, here she is, it's a big deal, I'm putting her in charge of the border. And not only that, they then pan over to Dome and she thanks him for it, for lack of a better word, says, yeah, it is a big responsibility, I've got it covered. This has been done on camera. John Carl, the American media apparatchik, said this.
Well, John, we have to start with the fact that we have a wide open southern border because our border czar actually set a lot of open border policies. They suspended.
You know, she's not actually, she wasn't the border czar.
Oh, that was what the media called her.
Flashback.
The president put Vice President Kamala Harris in playing a critical role in terms of trying to stop the flow of migrants across the border.
She had control over a lot of our border policy at a time.
What was the root causes suspending of the migration?
Let me finish, John. The time they were suspending deportations, they stopped Donald Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, and they reinstituted catch and release. They basically threw open the gates of our country, and now we have a ton of fentanyl, a ton of people
but
suffering.
But how are you going to get 10 to 15 to 20 million people out of the country?
Well, the first thing you have to do is to stop the bleeding.
It was done on camera. John Carl himself was on camera. And they want to know, have we spent enough years dumbing down and demoralizing the American people that we can now invent something out of nothing? Will the American people believe that I'm the Incredible Hulk? I don't know. We will find out in November. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We are going to talk about Dome's campaign with Rob Bluey next. Before we do that, we're going to talk about the best night's sleep you're ever going to have in your life. And what makes a good night's sleep? It's not just the sleeping portion. I know that's very obvious. You lay down, you're tired, you close your eyes, you drift off to sleep. That, of course, is part of it. But how do you know when you had a good night's sleep? You don't know when you're sleeping. You know when you wake up. It's how you feel when you wake up. Dream powder from Beam is not a bunch of chemical filth. It's natural. Melatonin, things like that. You have a little cup of hot chocolate as you're going to bed, and you just drift off to sleep. And when you wake up, you feel like $1 million. Go get some Dream Powder, 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
it's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there's been a lot of talk about racism and whatnot. You faced some really nasty stuff. I saw this thing that Nick Fuentes, of course, he's an avowed white supremacist. He said, what kind of a man marries somebody named Usha? Clearly he doesn't value his racial identity, his heritage. I mean, this is racist garbage.
Yes, it is.
But this is also a guy that dined with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago during this campaign.
Well, and Donald Trump doesn't know anything about and frankly doesn't care for.
Nick Fuentes, an avowed anti-Semite,
sure,
went after your wife. He had previously dined at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump. Does this have any room in your movement, in the MAGA movement?
Of course it doesn't have any room in the MAGA movement. And of course,
you disavow him and this.
And of course, Donald Trump has criticized this person. Look, I think the guy's a total loser. Certainly I disavow him. But if you ask me what I care more about, is it a person attacking me personally, or is it government policy that discriminates based on race? That's what I really worry about.
What did you notice there? Forget about the names and the J.D. Vance and the Trump and the this guy. And that. What did you notice there? You notice how the reporters, the apparatchiks, are all on message. And notice how they're already getting us to disavow, denounce. Do you disavow things? Joining me now, Rob Bluey, president, executive editor of the Daily Signal. Rob, I, for one, think J.D. Vance has done a bang-up job so far in his VP campaign. However, the Republicans playing the disavow game for the 10 millionth time is about enough to make me want to throw myself off a building. How do we not know what they're doing at this point in time?
Yeah, Jesse, thanks for having me today. You're absolutely right. I mean, I do appreciate J.D. Vance's forceful response there, but Republicans and conservatives more broadly need to get off of defense and go on offense. There are plenty of things that they could be pointing out about Kamala Harris and some of the associations that she has with left-wing agitators and avowed Marxists and socialists that you don't expect the media to ask about. So it's their opportunity to bring it up and point the direction back at her and others in the Democratic Party, frankly. As for what you can expect from the media going forward, exactly this type of thing. I expect that they will continue to point out instances where they disagree with Donald Trump on things, and they'll try to find some tenuous association that he's had in the past and try to connect it in some way to his campaign, because there's an understanding that there are a handful of states, and in those handful of states, there are a certain set of swing voters who are going to make their decision not based on any policy issue, but probably on things that they read or see on television and maybe Donald Trump's expos. So, you know, those are types of things that we can expect to play forward in this campaign, and we can't trust the media to report them.
Rob, I actually spoke kind of about that issue in the very beginning of what the percentages are about what you just talked about. Obviously, these filthy communists have spent decades dumbing down and demoralizing this society so that half the people you run into can't name the vice president, let alone their two U.S. senators. Do we have a society too full now of people who don't vote on things like, well, I can't afford eggs or gas? They vote on things like, Trump said something mean. It's all a matter of percentages, and the question is, what are ours?
Well, sadly, I think that you're right on that. There probably are far too many people who don't vote based on some of the policy issues that are at stake. I mean, we see poll after poll that shows that the economy and inflation is the number one issue of concern. Who has been in the White House putting forward policies that have contributed to the situation that we're in now, if none other than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? So you'd think that they would reject the policies of the last 4 years and move to the policies that America was thriving on under Donald Trump. Frankly, there seems to be, if you believe recent polls, a number of Americans who appreciate this media makeover of Kamala Harris and are doing everything in their power to try to propel her into the White House. And so there will be Americans who chose to not vote on policy issues, and they will choose to vote on those kind of superficial things that come up on a day-to-day news cycle.
Rob, let's talk about these debates that are coming up. Okay, it's ABC debates. You won't do Fox News. Let's just assume that there's going to be one debate. I've pretty much resigned myself to this now. They'll have one. They'll both kind of bail after that and call it good. Traditionally, she's not been great at debate. Trump has been up. He's been down. His last debate was great. He pooped his pants during the first debate with Joe Biden. We don't know which Trump we're going to get, but Dome sucks at it. So I like Trump's chances on stage with her, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that she's avoiding any sort of press conferences or media scrutiny or hard interviews, I mean, this is his one opportunity to put her on stage, on the record, and ask about some of those policy issues that have come up in this conversation and that she's responsible for. I mean, if I were Trump in Trump's shoes, I would center the conversation directly on the border crisis. Kamala Harris, of course, being the border czar, the one who Joe Biden put in charge of figuring out this crisis, this situation, and making it worse as a result of the policies that were implemented under her watch. And so I would do everything that he can over the course of the 90 minutes or however long that debate is to paint a contrast between what you saw during 4 years of Donald Trump and what you've seen over the course of the last 4 years. Now, in terms of the moderators, I think that Trump can expect a hostile walking into hostile territory there. I mean, David Muir is probably not going to be friendly to Trump based on what we know about ABC News's history. And so you just have to be prepared for a situation where you're going to be on the defensive, and you need to, as we talked about earlier, turn it back on Harris and make her on the defensive.
Let's talk about walls so far. In fact, I want to give Tom Elliott credit for this one, putting together this little montage. Here's been the media treatment of walls.
Midwestern dad, like super clean cut vibe.
Everybody likes
right?
Tim Walz.
So plain spoken and relatable.
As moderate and independent as it comes.
Pretty moderate Democrat.
I always knew him as a moderate. One of the most moderate.
Very moderate record.
A new moderate.
I think this is the new moderate.
Far from progressive.
He's right down the middle.
He's not just an old white man.
Tim Walz beats America, you know.
Talks like a regular person.
Tim Walz is the opposite of weird.
Walz is basically younger Joe Biden.
Regular old Joe out there.
Populist approach to fear on the Republican side, and the happy populism. And the happy populism that Tim Walz is on the ticket on the Democratic side.
Walz is a kind of happy warrior.
Happy warriors.
Happy warriors.
He was certainly the happy warrior last night and seemed to be the happy warrior last night.
A happy warrior. Folksy backstory.
Are going to be very happy warriors.
There is a new happy warrior.
Following the kind of happy warrior mold.
Happy warrior.
Happy warrior mentality.
Wicked sense of humor. Look how happy the pig looks.
That's good. It's wild to watch the hive mind at work, but I don't know if all this rehab is going to outlast the stolen valor stuff, Rob. There's a lot to this. What say you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, as somebody who's worked in the media for a while and who knows the pack mentality, it's not necessarily surprising to see all those journalists fawning over Tim Walz. It's the same reaction that you saw after Joe Biden's first debate performance. And all the media commentators came out and said he needed to get out of the race after defending him for so long. But yes, I do think that eventually after this honeymoon is over, and that'll probably be after the Democratic National Convention at this point, there should be more scrutiny on his record, and particularly his military service. I commend J.D. Vance for bringing that up. That's an issue that you can't expect the media to necessarily focus on, and so he's trying to do his best to raise questions about his service. And I think that the other thing that we need to remember here is it was Bernie Sanders who was the one who was really pushing Tim Walz. Bernie Sanders, of course, being a self-avowed socialist in the U.S. Senate, there says something about what the guy's policies will likely be if you have Bernie Sanders in your camp.
Rob, I'm not 100% sure he's going to make it as the VP candidate. And I say that because this stolen valor stuff is starting to drag down the Harris ticket. And when you pick a VP, they're supposed to help a little. In the very least, you stay flat. What they're never, ever, ever allowed to do is drag you down for an extended period of time. I know it sounds crazy, but we've already seen crazy. Could you see a world where they might dump this guy?
Oh, there's always the possibility. Look, I was there in 2004 when John O'Neill and some of the other Swift Boat veterans made the case against John Kerry. And that was certainly, I think, the defining moment of that particular campaign. George W. Bush, remember, was in a tough environment, and he was able to run effectively against Kerry because those questions were raised about his military service at a time when the United States was facing some big foreign conflicts. So, yes, if this continues to be a drag on Tim Walz, then absolutely they would cut him loose. Look at what they did to Joe Biden. I mean, the Democratic Party is in this to retain power at any cost. And if it means sacrificing Tim Walz, I think that they would absolutely do it.
Yeah, I think they would too. All right. Rob, thank you, brother. Come back soon. I appreciate it. All right. So my buddy Jerry Dunleavy, he was part of, well, an effort supposedly in the GOP to get some accountability for Afghanistan, to get some justice for the families who lost our warriors over there. Jerry Dunleavy resigned this morning publicly. This story is ugly, and it's going to make you mad. It made me mad, but we're going to talk to Jerry extensively about that next before we do that. Speaking of talking, so we all use cell phones, right? We text, we call. That's the modern era. Kind of have to have one now. Let me ask you, who do you pay for that service every month? Do you pay a company who loves, shares, and promotes your values, or do you pay a company who hates you? If you have AT&T, if you have T-Mobile, if you have Verizon, you make a monthly payment to a company who hates your friggin' guts. If you have switched to Pure Talk, you not only pay less — I pay half of what I was paying at T-Mobile — you not only pay less, you're paying a company who loves you. They promote your values. Their CEO fought for this country. No stolen valor at Pure Talk. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and switch. It takes 10 minutes. It's easy. We'll be back.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math & Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math & Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reckoning. How many times have you heard me call for something like that for various things? How many times have we talked about that when it comes to Afghanistan and what was done there? What was done to the troops? 20 years of blood and misery over in that place, and then we just ran out on a mission they couldn't even define. And the way we ran out on that mission, getting another 13 of our warriors killed right before we vaporized 10 innocent civilians, is something that should be investigated and people should be held to account. My friend Jerry Dunleavy wrote a book with my friend James Hassan. The book is called Kabul. Highly recommend you pick up that book if you want to know what we did over there. So, Jerry, before we get to what you did today with the resignation, could you please talk about this foreign affairs investigation team, investigative team? What were you on? How'd you get on this thing? What were the promises?
Right. So, before I joined the House Foreign Affairs Committee, I was an investigative reporter, reported on Afghanistan, then wrote the book Kabul with James Hassan, I wasn't a veteran, but, you know, Afghan war veteran. James was fantastic co-author. After being a reporter and writing this book, I was asked if I would come on to the committee, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and help them with their investigation as a senior investigator. What I was told we would be doing, in fact, what I said we needed to do as part of me coming on, is I said, look, I'm a reporter, I'm an investigative reporter, I investigate things, that's what I do. If I come on, I want to be part of something serious, something sweeping in scope, something that's going to hold people accountable, get answers, go down every investigative avenue that we need to go down. And with the goal of accountability for the people that screwed this up, and the goal of making sure that this doesn't happen again.
Jerry, can I pause you just for a moment? Who invited you to come on? Who were the people who wanted to say, they called Jerry, get on our committee? Who was it?
Senior staff members of the committee asked me to come on, and I was hired
McCall. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. We met in his office and talked about the investigation, and during that meeting about, you know, bringing me on, he made the same promises as he's made publicly. So I'm not really giving anything even really away here, that, you know, the investigation is going to leave no stone unturned, that we're going to do everything in our power to get answers about what happened, answers for the Abbeygate Gold Star families. And look, I don't want to be here. I truly wish that the promises that Chairman McCaul made were followed through on. I wish that I was coming on your show to talk about all the incredible things that the investigation had found, all the people we had held accountable. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. It's not just that those promises weren't kept. It's that there was not even a real effort to keep those promises.
That leads me to what you did today, because we haven't even gone into that yet. What did you do today publicly, and why? And I swear I won't interrupt again. The floor is yours, Jerry. Tell us what happened.
So today I did, actually on Friday, I sent in my letter of resignation. I resigned in protest from the committee. I made that public today. After speaking with the Abbeygate Gold Star families, letting them know kind of what I had done and what I was planning to do. It had to be done. The committee is not doing the basic things that it needs to do. The things that we have done oftentimes have been treating people with kid gloves, people that share a big piece of responsibility for what happened. Our hearing with Zalmay Khalizad, who was the U.S.'s top negotiator with the Taliban in 2020 and in 2021. So President Biden kept him on. A nefarious guy. All the evidence points that this guy is a bad actor. And when we brought him in, we treated him with kid gloves. And that was extremely disappointing. We brought in Chairman Milley and and General McKenzie, the two highest ranking military officials at the time of the withdrawal in 2021. They share their own piece of the blame as well. And the committee, the chairman, and the committee, in my view, deliberately let them off the hook. And so the things that we have done, we have not done in a serious way. And there are tons of things that I've been insisting for many, 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 many months that we do. Questions that we need to ask. We failed to bring in the top military commanders on the ground during the NEO. That would be General Donahue, General Farrell Sullivan, Rear Admiral Vaisley. I've been saying for many months that we need to bring these guys in. They're the ones that can talk about interactions with the Taliban. They're the ones that can talk about whatever agreements or deals the U.S. military reached to rely on the Taliban to provide security outside of that airport. They're the ones that can tell us about the Taliban sometimes refusing to do what we asked during the evacuation, the Taliban beating up Americans, the Taliban beating up and killing our Afghan allies, these things happening within view of our Marines at the gates. They can talk about us asking the Taliban to search or raid ISIS-K locations in Kabul during the evacuation and the Taliban telling us no. I mean, and this is what I'm giving you here is just a thin slice, the tip of the iceberg, in terms of the things that we should have been doing, the basic things. If we wanted to get answers and accountability for the Gold Star families, for all of the U.S. service members that have died in this 20-year war, for all of their Gold Star families, and for the American public, because I am worried that the U.S. government, State Department, the Pentagon, the intelligence community, they have not learned their lessons because they haven't had to, because no one's been held accountable. So accountability is important for its own sake, but I am extremely worried that without the lessons learned and without the accountability, something much worse is going to happen. We are going to be in a potentially serious war with a great power in the near future. And if we don't learn these lessons, there's going to be a lot more Gold Star families, a lot more unnecessary Gold Star families. And so that is why, after a lot of soul searching, I thought that it was best to blow the whistle on the inaction and incompetence of the committee, and to tell people what's going on, what they need to know, and to try and get this out in the public so that people know that their elected representatives are not doing real oversight and not holding people accountable the way they should be.
Jerry, I applaud you as always. My man, takes guts to do what you did. I'm really, really glad you did it. Please keep after him. Don't let up, brother. I appreciate you. How many times have you heard me say we're going to lose a major war? And when something twice as terrible happens next time, it's going to be because of things like this. And I wanted to remind you, that's a Republican committee Jerry resigned from today. Republican-led committee. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about walls and other things, like his pro-life record. Next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is so pro-choice, Nancy Pelosi asked me if I should tone it down. I stand with Planned Parenthood, and we won!
I'm starting to love this guy. Just, he's such a world-class scumbag. He's dragging down the whole ticket. Joining me now, Dr. Abby Johnson, former director of Planned Parenthood, now the foremost pro-life advocate in the country, CEO of Then There Were None Ministries. Easy for me to say. Abby, tell me about Tim Walz. His stolen valor obviously has gotten a lot of pub, and justifiably so. What is this guy's record on the unborn?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's about as bad as you can be. He supports abortion up until the date of birth, and has voted that way multiple times. So he does not support even providing health care. I mean, just basic health care to babies that are born alive after a failed abortion attempt. So we know in these abortion facilities, these killing centers, that if a baby is born alive, typically, which we know the CDC reports every year, that about 400 babies are born alive after a failed abortion attempt every single year, okay? Tim Walz does not believe that these babies should be provided with basic health care in order to keep them alive, okay? So he agrees with the former Virginia governor, Governor Northam, who says, you know what, we just allow the doctor and the patient to decide what happens to that baby. Well, that could be infanticide. And we know from former abortion clinic testimonies that the most typical two ways that they would kill a baby that's born alive after a failed abortion attempt would be to either drown the baby in a bucket or to take scissors and to slit the back of the baby's spinal cord to kill the baby that way. And that is what Tim Walz supports.
Abby, as hard as that is to hear and just imagine that that happens here, could you tell me how often we think that happens here?
Well, I mean, the CDC says, they cite that about 400 to 500 babies are born alive every single year. Now these are viable babies. So these are babies that could live on their own outside of the mother's womb. So these are late term abortions. These are healthy babies born to healthy moms. You know, the CDC is reporting that. So I would say we could probably triple that. Because that's just what's being reported. And that's what's being reported by abortion clinics. Okay, this is self-reporting. So we know that self-reporting is the least accurate reporting measure. So, I mean, we really have no idea, but we know it's at least 400 to 500 a year.
God have mercy. All right, let's switch gears here and talk about Planned Parenthood. Back in the news, courtesy of Life News, for selling baby parts. Abby, could you explain to me why is there a market for baby parts? Who's buying baby parts? What?
Yeah. So this was released by Center for Medical Progress. This was something that David DeLeiden has sat on for a while. It was he was put under a gag order by a California judge. Shocker, California. They did not want him to release the rest of the footage that he had kind of in a vault. He did finally release it. Now, I do want to tell you, Jesse, these women, Tram Nguyen and Anne Shudane, they are both women that I worked with closely when I worked at Planned Parenthood. They worked for my affiliate, Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. I also want to confirm that as they talk about, you know, ripping off the legs of the babies so that it won't be considered a partial birth abortion, you know, as they so callously talk about this while they're having drinks and hors d'oeuvres and sitting down over dinner, I do want to say that, yes, they are as callous as they appear to be. I want to say, yes, when I worked in the industry, I was as callous as they are. That is, it is a horrific, barbaric industry. And, you know, only the Lord can soften that sort of heart of stone into a heart of flesh, which is what he did for me. But these videos have been released. The people buying these sorts of baby parts, which is very, this is very real. This sort of research was done while I was there. We actually were selling bodies to companies. One that we sold to was called Amphioxus Cell Technologies, which has since gone under, or it's been renamed. And we were selling them for hundreds of dollars per baby that we sold to them. That's on top of the amount of money that we're already receiving from the woman for her abortion, right? So this isn't, it's not like we're giving her a discount because we're receiving money for the body of her baby. This is in addition to, so we're making, you know, millions of dollars from the abortion and then millions of dollars for the sale of her baby. You know, these go to biotech lab companies. They use them for vaccines. They use them for all different types of testing. I mean, we saw once, Jesse, a few years ago, we saw a rat with the scalp of a baby that had been grown onto the back of a lab rat. You know why? I don't know. Just because they wanted to see if the hair of an infant would grow on the back of a lab rat. I mean, what is the scientific reasoning for that? There is none. We're just at a point in our society where scientists are, they just want to see if they can do it. And I want to say that those scalps of those babies were live harvested. That meant those babies were alive when they scalped them, when they took the baby's scalps off their bodies and then transplanted them onto the back of a rat. It's some of the most disgusting images I've ever seen. And Planned Parenthood and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, they have all been complicit in this sort of research.
God, forgive us. Abby, the Dobbs decision being overturned, you know, Roe v. Wade being overturned, I should say, obviously this is something celebrated in pro-life circles, but you know, you look at the numbers and abortions haven't really gone down since then. Did we get a win there? Did we win a battle? Did it do nothing? What do we think about that now, looking back on it?
I mean, you know, Jesse, I think Roe certainly needed to be overturned. Do I think it was the victory that everyone thought it was in the terms of, you know, oh, we're going to end abortion? No, I don't think so. I think that we are seeing sort of this radicalization of our culture. Abortion is a sacrifice. It's a sacrament of the left. They love killing children. And I don't really know any other way to say it. They love killing innocent babies. And they will do anything they can to make sure that they can continue to do that. And, you know, when I worked at Planned Parenthood, it was over 20 years ago when I started working there, they weren't so brazen about their support of abortion. It was more, you know, behind the counter. We kept the abortion pamphlets behind the counter. Now they're just right out on social media. They're just right out in the front saying, abortion is our primary goal. This is what we love. This is what we celebrate. We celebrate this sacrament almost as a rite of passage for women. Women need to have an abortion before they hit the age of 21. This is where we are. This is why they're in our school system, teaching our innocent children that sex before marriage is great. Sexual exploration by the time you're 9, 10, 11 years old is good. You should do that. Explore homosexuality. Explore having sex with as many partners as you can. This is what they're trying to teach our children, sexual perversion, because high-risk sexual behavior leads to STDs and it leads to unplanned pregnancies. And all of those things lead to people at the doorstep of Planned Parenthood, and that leads to money.
Yeah. Abby, you're the best. Come back soon. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and nothing lightens my mood like Chuck Schumer and these dirtball politicians getting blasted in public. I've always loved that because these people are looting and gutting. They're destroying the country as fast as humanly possible. And when they get publicly humiliated, does my heart well.
Hey, Chuck, you know Dominicans actually hate your guts, right? Because you're a scumbag. You know that, right? You ruined New York. You're a loser. You're a loser, buddy. You're a loser.
I love that we still live in a country where we can do that. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.